And now Catherine Smybert and Joan Lewis look at the Pope's visit to Turkey.
Joan Knows. Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan Lewis, great to have you here in studio. And today, of course, ends a very exciting sort of phase, I think, and also not just ends, but begins the second week of Advent as well. And what an Advent time it is. We seem to be on the verge of something very great. And I believe you were actually on the ground with the Pope to experience all of the highlights of what I'm referring to.
Oh, the Turkey visit was absolutely incredible. Of course, that's why I was not here for my show last week, but you had all the papal events, so that was no big problem. But, you know, when I think to the lead up to the trip, all types of media, the printed and electronic, just had dire predictions. I had friends that asked me for weeks, and even family members, was I afraid to go to Turkey, and was I worried for the Holy Father? And I said, no, I wasn't personally afraid, because I'd been there before. The people are lovely and welcoming and hospitable and everything else. Was I worried for the Holy Father? I said, in the same way that anybody else could be worried who has not forgotten that it was a Turk, and I'm sure the government, of course, did not forget this, it was a Turk who in 1981 shot Pope John Paul. So were there fears for his safety? Yeah, there could have been. There's maybe always some nut in the world who wants to perform and act like that. But I thought, and this is what I said to my friends, if everybody lets Benedict be Benedict, he is going to win them over. I love to define him, I've done this how many times, as a gentleman and a gentleman. He's brilliant. He's erudite. He's a wonderful listener. He's not just a good talker. He's a wonderful listener. That is so important. And he's a very humble man. And I think just letting his personality come through is what won the hearts of the Turks.
As you say, indeed, the prediction of the winning their hearts, it seems to be the case. We can even turn suddenly to those secular media outlets who are all doom and gloom and who really had nothing else to say at the end of it. But wow, we are impressed.
Yes. And the amazing thing is, being in Turkey, following the Turkish press, there were two papers that came out in English language, but I also made friends with some American journalists who lived there who knew the language, and so they could interpret the headlines of the actual Turkish language papers. And I mean, really beginning on Wednesday morning, the morning after he arrived, you had very positive coverage. And, I think one thing that helped that, not just the Pope being the Pope and his wonderful personality, however, the Turkish people did send, whatever the reason, it may have been to help their image, to help them get in the European Union, but their prime minister, who had said for, 4 to 6 weeks, I can't meet the Pope, I won't be there. He was there. So that was a hugely important event on the very, very first day as the Pope got off the plane.
And this really set the stage for just greater things to come. In fact, maybe you could highlight a couple of the next important meetings that the Pope had, just with the angle of maybe some of the fruits already that we're seeing from them.
In the Wednesday general audience, the Pope spoke of papal trips as being like concentric circles, so that the innermost circle would be his traveling to confirm Catholics in their faith. The next or intermediate circle would be to meet other Christians, and the outer circle would be to meet non-Christians and people of goodwill, all of mankind, as I believe he said. And if you look at this trip, if you look back at any one of John Paul's trips, any previous trips of Benedict, that's generally what they have been, is meeting all these different groups. So who did he meet on his trip? It was not just the Muslims, and actually Turkey, a majority Muslim country. He also met the Christians in the sense of meeting the ecumenical patriarchate, the Orthodox Christians, and then the Catholic Christians and others when he was in Istanbul and at his final Mass. Of course, he had a wonderful Mass in Ephesus for just a couple hundred people. I mean, Catherine, there no one was further than maybe 30 or 40 feet from the Holy Father. When can you say that? And it was very obvious he enjoyed it as much as we did who were present for that Mass. So he met all of these different groups. He met the religious in the sense of Muslims and Christians and Catholics. He also did meet the chief rabbi of Turkey. He spent a lot of time, because the main focus of his visit was for the Orthodox, was the ecumenical part of his visit. And we can see the fruits of that. The meetings were judged to be very positive with the patriarch in Istanbul by both the Catholic, the Vatican side, and the patriarch himself. But I think one of the highlights, to go back, and we can't skip the Muslim part of the country.
And that was the part, of course, so many across the world were waiting for. We were getting calls here ourselves from Al Jazeera just to reconfirm some of the elements there. What was it like? I mean, just being there amidst this moment. I mean, it was quite historical, I can imagine.
It was really mind-boggling, as one journalist colleague said, because the visit to Hagia Sophia, which worried Muslims tremendously, they were very afraid the Holy Father was going to go in and pray or kneel or join his hands together in prayer, and he did not do that at all. The actual visit to the Sultanahmet, or Blue Mosque, was phenomenal. You could tell the Holy Father was overwhelmed by the beauty, by the immensity. He listened with enormous attention to his guide. There was the Grand Mufti there and the Imam. He listened with great, great interest in what they had to say, and then he'd kind of have a question of his own, which was wonderful. Mm. And the most beautiful part, really, was when the Grand Mufti kind of tapped the Holy Father on the arm and said, we learned later, he said he was going to face Mecca, the mihrab, and he was going to pray. And so the Holy, both of them, all of a sudden, have this at-attention look on them. They're both facing the same direction. And the Holy Father joins his arms together in a movement which I thought at the time was simply not to join his hands in prayer, seeming like a Catholic or Christian position, but he joined his arms, which is the Muslim way of praying. So you had photographer, you know, going bananas at this picture, and then you had all the papers, the headlines along with the picture were Pope faces Mecca, prays like a Muslim. That was the headline on virtually every paper, whatever their political stance was on things. So that was a wonderful, wonderful gesture. And then just the Pope's off-the-cuff remarks in the mosque. All of these were picked up. The off-the-cuff, just the casual, unprepared remarks of the Holy Father. A prayer book was given to him, and the Mufti said, you know, every one of our prayers begins with Allah, which is the name for God. And the Pope put his hand on the prayer book and said, well, then let us pray to God for peace among mankind and for brotherhood. So, I mean, just remarks like that were wonderful. And actually, by the time he left, he said he was leaving part of his heart in Turkey. And actually, I think he was leaving part of himself in the hearts of the Turkish people, from what I heard and saw on the streets and what I read in the paper and the people that I talked to. So a stunning visit from the point of view of comparing the predictions the Monday before he left and look at Friday afternoon when he returned to Rome. It was a very, very amazing period. But again, I think anybody who kind of knows Benedict should have expected that he would be how he was. And the best part was the wonderful reception given by the Turkish people and the government. So,
well, it is the season to be hopeful and jolly, and I'm sure that the Holy Father has certainly paved a way, not just for that country, but maybe for Muslims and Orthodox, as well as Christians around the world, to be inspired during this particular season.
And God bless him for it.